Proverbs chapter 12. And I want to finish what I started, as I mentioned last Wednesday night, and also to you this morning, that the Lord gave me in my devotions. Now, this is not rocket science when it comes to understanding the importance of receiving wise counsel. It's easy for a Bible preacher to use the Bible to support every single point of his message. It's not about my ideas or what I think might be good. But when we look at the scriptures and base every single thing that we say on the Holy Scriptures, then there's no argument about it. And when we find these golden nuggets, I call them, all along the way as we study, we can see what God is doing in our lives through His Word. And that's why your personal devotions every day is critical, because you will be tied to the scriptures all through the week. And that's why Sunday night, Wednesday night's critical. And it keeps us around the Word of God. We discovered this morning that there are two reliable sources when it comes to godly counsel. And I dealt with just one of the two. And that is God's holy Word. And that it is always right, and that it will always stand. And you and I looked at that from the scriptures this morning. But I want to give to you and develop, I mentioned it this morning at the end of my message, but I want to develop it tonight. And that is the second way in which God gives us godly counsel. And that is, He puts special people in our path. So the first one was that God, His Word can be trusted and will always stand. The second one is that God puts special people along our path, and He puts them as our rope holders. So let me give them to you. They'll be on the screen. Here's rope holder number one, found in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. And we're going to go fast tonight, so you listen fast. Notice what the verse says. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Here is a rope holder that is going to tell you some very wise information. You have to be listening. People God puts in your life, you better be sure. Do not let, and I tell this to our young people all the time, do not let someone in your inner circle that should not be there. Be sure you do not do that. Your inner circle, as a young person, we have a lot of young people here tonight. Your inner circle should be your parents, grandparents. It should be a trusted friend, a school teacher, someone more mature than you. It should not be a peer. And yet so quickly our kids give their hearts to one another, and that becomes a heartbreak later on, and it becomes the emotions of all of that, whether it is two girls and their friendship, or a girl and a boy that developed a friendship, and then when the breakup or the separation comes, it is a serious matter. Do not let people in that inner circle. Godly people should be in the inner circle of your life. It's in that inner circle that you will find wise counsel. You will find advice, and that's what this word means. It means advice given to us by the direction of God, by placing people into our life. If you have Christian parents, be thankful for Christian parents, young people. You have Christian grandparents, be thankful for Christian grandparents. They are here to guide you along the way. Now listen, parents and grandparents. Please do not compromise God's word when it comes to your children and grandchildren. Be cautious about that. Please do not think that your children and grandchildren are an exception, that they do not need the rules. We already can see when people don't play by the rules, or when they have rules for themselves and another standard for others. We see the catastrophe of that. This is why God's word is the standard. So wise counsel is given. God will give you a rope holder. It will be a very wise person. God put him there or her there in your life so that you can listen to what they say. counsel. You need it. I need it. This word counsel refers to that company of people that I mentioned to you this morning, that God gives us on purpose for deliberations in our life, that we might hear from God. It's the word for close or intimate. It has to do with the secrets or the mysteries of our life as they unfold, and how we need to be sure that we are walking in God's perfect will as His complete will is unfolded to us down the road. And we'll see how important wise counsel is to the future of our lives in just a moment. Here's what this means. It means that God loves you and loves me so much that He will give us wise counselors along the way. Some we can go to and say, I need counsel on this. What do you think about this? I get calls almost on a daily basis, if not from a church member, from a preacher friend, or from an evangelist, or from a missionary, or from someone else in another church, saying, here is the situation, can you give me some help on it? Now, I'm very sensitive to that, because I want to be sure that I give them what I give them, I can back up with God's word. Sometimes when I talk to parents, I understand from their conversation that they are in orbit about it, that they really are not thinking correctly about it. And so we have to help them. When you respect someone, and I said this morning, but I want you to see it firsthand, and I want you to be able to really get it through your mental mill. When God puts people in our path and we seek counsel from them, and here's the thought I want to leave with you. When I seek counsel from those God puts in my path, I look for them to tell me something that God wants me to know. I respect them. I'm listening to them. I've asked for their counsel. I'm not asking for their counsel so that they can agree with me or they can pat me on the back, make me feel good. No, I'm asking for serious counsel, and perhaps it might not be what I want to hear at all. Do you, when you ask for counsel from someone that you greatly respect, why do you ask for it? Do you ask for it just so that they can have the information about what you're thinking about? Do you ask for it because you want them to put a rubber stamp on what you're doing, what you're saying? And there are many times when I, in a very cautious way, I admonish people all the time when their thinking is not right about something. I try to reform their thinking about it, because it's going to lead to a wrong conclusion if they go down that road. And so I cautiously and very compassionately deal with them. And as you grow older, you should grow wiser. And when you grow wiser, you should be able to help your loved ones, those that might be on a wrong road or fixing to take a wrong road. And many of you have loved ones and friends that you want to help. I trust this message will be a help to you. So one of the rope holders is someone who will give you wise counsel from God's word. But let me show you another one in Proverbs chapter 20. Would you turn with me there as we use our Bibles in the Bible study? And here's the second rope. And this is so important. This second rope has to do with someone that can think out of your box, and often they think deeper than you think. And that's the whole point. The rope of a friend who is a deep thinker. Look at verse 5. Counsel, there's our key word, in the heart of man is like deep water. Think about that just for a moment. But a man of understanding will draw it out. You and I have great opportunity. We know some very wise people. We should draw out of their well, their deep well of thinking. I enjoy our pastoral staff meetings. Sometimes we have theological discussions and we draw out of each other a lot of theology. I must admit to you, we also draw out a lot of garbage during those meetings. But we do draw out from each other. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. And we have the privilege of drawing it out. We have to be cautious that we're always in such a hurry that we can't draw it out. Sometimes I have to make myself slow down. And that's hard for me. That's one of my weaknesses. I go at a fast rate. But I have to make myself slow down. I have to make myself think right. I want to surround myself with men who have minds that will help me. I have told you that you could put my brain in a thimble. So therefore, I broaden my thimble when I'm around deep thinkers. I love doing it. I was around board members last week. Some of them are great thinkers. I heard Bud Stedman, a great mind, give us some great counsel, didn't we, Pastor, in that meeting? Some wonderful counsel in that meeting. And he backed it up with Scripture. And he was burdened about what he was talking about, the decline of people surrendering to missions, for missionary service. And I sat there and listened to a very wise man, and guess what? My little fingers were typing as fast as he was speaking because I wanted to get on paper what he was saying. A friend who is a deep thinker. If all you are doing is going to the shallow people who are not good thinkers just to get approval or validation, you'll never grow your mind. You'll never be able to become a wise thinker yourself or a wise counselor yourself. So one of these ropes that we're talking about here is a friend who's a deep thinker. But there's a third rope, and this is the last one in this category, and that is the rope, and I love this point, the rope of a sweet friend who gives hearty counsel. Did you know all this sweet talk I've been telling you for these years, there's a verse in the Bible about it? Let me share it with you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27 and look at verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Now you know that's true. Husbands go home and there's an aroma in the house. And it changes the whole mood, doesn't it? Come on, don't you be so spiritual on me now. Absolutely. There's something about it. Now watch what the verse says. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And this word counsel is the word for advice. The word sweetness means a pleasant discourse. In other words, he's going to or she's going to say something. And it's going to be the sweetness of a man's friend who gives hearty counsel. Hearty counsel is a breath of fresh air. It is faithful advice, giving without flattery or ulterior motive. There's nothing about it that has a string attached to it. It's the sweet, hearty counsel of a dear friend that's going to help you through a very difficult time in your life. When you do not need browbeating, but you just need the sweetness of a friend. Staying faithful to the principles of God's word, but encouraging you along the way. And you need to be that kind of a friend to others. A friend who has the sweetness about him or her with hearty counsel. Counsel that is faithful advice without any ulterior motives whatsoever. So we have discovered the reality and the reliability of God's word and people God puts in our way. But the second thing that I want us to see tonight is the rewards for doing all that. And this is the motivation. Now here comes the motivation behind all of this. If God's word can motivate you, if I've convinced you about counsel today and the importance of it, and that if you choose not to take it, you could suffer retribution in kind, divine retribution in kind. So you have to be sure that you got to get beyond that. And here we find that God's word will always be right, will always stand, and that God puts people in our path to help manage our life as we throw the ropes to them and allow them to help us. Now, what do we get from that? And we live in a culture where that question is asked a lot. It's asked a lot. Well, what do I get for my money? What do I get for my time invested? What do I get out of it? It's really a selfish thing. But that's the way people think. Well, if I can convince you of Bible truth and then show you in the scriptures your rewards for believing what the Bible says about wise counsel, then you can avoid the retribution. And that's my goal. My whole goal in this message is to help turn you on a different path before it's too late. Because here's what's hard. Once you get on that path, sometimes it's very difficult to recognize its retribution to begin with. It's called one catastrophic event after another, and you live from crisis to crisis, and you're a crisis manager. You never enjoy life. Something's always wrong. God help you get beyond that. You've got to get beyond that. You will wreck your children. You'll wreck your grandchildren. You can't do that. You can't live that way. You've got to get beyond that. Now, here are some of the rewards. If I can show you the reality of it and the rewards of it, again, we keep ourselves from the retribution of it. Let me give you four of them for the balance of our time this evening. Number one, it keeps us from disappointments. We already know that distress and anguish comes. Turn with me back to chapter 15 and let me show you this. We know that life has some hard turns for us. But wise counsel is what keeps our hearts happy and sweet, as we have been learning. Look at verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Now, what is established? Those disappointing times when something overtakes us. The word disappointed means to break asunder. It means to frustrate. So when we are frustrated, we don't know which way to turn. We seem to be overwhelmed with some frustration about life, about family, about work, about health, about everyday life. We have things that break us down. That's the meaning of the word disappointments. It means to break asunder through frustration. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. If we did not have wise counselors around us, we could live very disappointed lives. We could be in the dumps all the time. We could never find answers of why God allows things to happen the way he does. Do you know bad things happen to good people every day of every year? And has been happening that way for thousands of years. Read the Bible. Thousands of years. It's not going to stop. Getting saved doesn't stop that. It helps. It only gives us a management skill to get through them. And some people can't manage life very well. And it's a sad thing. Life doesn't have to be that way. Your life needs to be filled with purpose. That's what this verse is talking about. What does counsel do? It lines us up with the purpose of God. It helps us see that even these bad things, good will come out of it. I've seen it many times as a pastor. I've watched it in people's lives. I've even questioned it many times. I wonder how well I would do through that kind of tragedy. But God always gives grace. And we can have a very bad situation come into our life, but with wise counsel, the frustration isn't nearly as great, and we can move forward. And as we move forward, God helps us with his grace and with his strength. It keeps us from disappointments. Please, I challenge you, don't live from frustration to frustration and crisis to crisis and disappointment to disappointment. Don't make little things big things. Don't ask someone's advice if you're not big enough to take it, because it might not be what you think it should be. And if you're a baby about it, then you're going to be crushed, and you're going to think that that friend is really not a friend. You have to weigh these things out. You can't just barge through life from one disappointment to another. Your life will be miserable. And the problem with that is everyone you live around will be miserable. Misery is a magnet to other people who are miserable. Let me give you a second one. In Proverbs chapter 19, would you turn there with me, please? And we'll progressively go through these two main points this way. Look at verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Are you ready for this one? This is a simple one. Number two, it helps us in the long run of life. Hey, you may live to be 100. You want to be miserable that long? You're going to make people miserable for 100 years? I got an attorney friend whose mother in May will be 110 years old. He asked me to go and visit her not long ago. So we went to the nursing home and we had a visit. She's a dear Christian lady, loves the Lord. I can quote a verse of scripture and she'll quote it right along with me. And she grew up in church all of her life, taught Sunday school. She was a nurse. She loved the Lord with all of her heart and still does. And she's still in her right mind. And she's doing extremely well. I keep telling my lawyer friend, who is 71, you're going to die before your mama. But I said to her, I said, Miss Downey, before I leave, I said, I'd like for you to kiss me right here on the cheek. And she says, why is that, Pastor? And I said, well, first of all, I've never been kissed by a woman that's 109 years old. So that's one reason. And another reason is to let you know that even though I'm not your pastor, I'm your son's friend, I want you to know that I pray for you. And I want you to know that you're a blessing to me. And you know something? A 109-year-old lady just brightened up. And she kissed me on the cheek. And we had a time of prayer together. And it was a great visit. She does not make life miserable for her children. She's 109 years old and she loves the Lord in an assisted living home, and she never complains. Not one time did she ever complain the hour and a half we were there. Not one time. Not about the nurses, not about the place, not about the food. Not one time. Most positive. As I looked at her, I said, Lord, when I get sick in my old age and need a nurse, give me a nurse like that, that has a right spirit. You're in for the long run. If you live only to be 60 or 70 or 80 or 90, that's a short life. And here's what the Bible is reminding us. Counsel helps us in the long distance. Counsel, godly advice that keeps us lined up with the will of God, helps us in the run of life in the long distance, how we need it. Because challenges only begin when you begin to have a change of life. My dad said to me, who died when he was 75 with cancer, he said to me, son, it's not fun getting old when you're sick. And that bothered me. The next time I came home, he said, son, I want you to know God promised me he's going to heal me. And I began to think, Dad, you have terminal cancer. And I know God can. And he saw the look on my face of consternation. And he said, if he heals me here, that's fine. But if he chooses not to heal me here, he's going to heal me there. And that set my heart at ease, And at 75, my dad was a very wise man, and he took that wisdom all the way to his deathbed. And I was there the last 3 days he lived. And I was there when he took his last breath. Never one time did I ever hear a complaint come out of my dad's mouth. He was in pain, excruciating pain, but no gripes, no complaints. He was in for the long haul. My dad was a very wise man. I miss him today. I miss talking with him over the phone. Sunday school teacher, deacon in our home church, who loved the Lord with all of his heart. He knew the value of wise counsel in the long run. And he gave it to me. And when I didn't realize he was giving me good advice, he helped me along. Do you know that? It started out something like this: go to your room. He was helping me. He was helping me. Let me give you a third one. And that is, it tells us when to go to war or what hill to fight on. Us fundamentalists, we don't get this very often, because we're going to die over whether people wear white shirts or pink ones. Are you with me? Let me show you a verse of scripture that has tremendous wisdom in it. Look at chapter 20, verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. If you're going to die on a hill, and I've said this to our deacons before, I've said this to our staff, I'm not going to die on that hill. Hill's not worth dying on. You got to be able to discern that. And only counsel can do it. Only God can align your life up to where when you're ready to go to bat and to battle, you will be willing to do it. And I'll tell you something, and you listen to your pastor very carefully. It is critical for us to get this. Most of us want to die when we get our feelings hurt, because it's all about us. And so we're going to turn hearts. We'll turn hearts away. I have seen divorced couples turn their children away from each other by lying and telling awful stories. They die on hills they should not die on. And it's obvious that we're going to war without even thinking. Here the word of God is very clear. It is counsel who establishes and gives good advice as to when to fight. We can't fight all the time. So you're gracious and you're kind and you hold your ground, and you're gracious and you're kind and you hold your ground, and you're gracious and you're kind and you hold your ground. I've held ground with people for 3 and 4 years. And sometimes in the end, they finally get it, and sometimes they don't. And they go on in their life, and their life is miserable, frustrated. They make everybody around them miserable. All because they cannot align their lives up with the Word of God. Let me give you the last one. And that is found in Proverbs 24, verse 6. Counsel is a place of safety. We've touched on it, but notice what this verse says. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. There's something about gathering wise people around you to gain wisdom and knowledge and to get counsel. They become your rope holders, people that you go to with your most private and urgent prayer request. There shouldn't be 20. And don't do it on Facebook. But have a few godly counselors that you can listen to. And in listening to them, God will say something through them for you. Now, you might not like it. It might not be what you want to hear. Be patient. Don't go on a hill and wreck your relationship with someone over your pettiness and differences. You don't fight that. That's not wise. You have an opportunity. to dwell in the place of safety. And in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Don't go to people who's going to tell you what you want to hear. Not long ago, I went to a funeral, not of a person in our church, but I went to a funeral. And the person was a young person and died a horrible death. Horrible death. She had given her counsel to one of her relatives, which was diametrically opposed to her parents and her grandparents and others that God had placed in her life. And she took this counselor's advice and marched out into life. And just past her 18th birthday, walked out of her family's life, walked out of her school, walked out of her church, walked away from her grandparents, and decided that she would live in sin. And I sat at that funeral and thought about all that counsel that this relative gave this young girl. And it was all about, your mom and dad don't know. You need to do your own thing. You are free now. You're 18. You could go do what you want to. You don't have to answer your mom and dad anymore. Gave her all that advice, and she walked right out of her house into sin. And that lifestyle lasted for about a year. And then that relationship was destroyed. And so it's on to another relationship. And another, and another. Now, as a pastor, I have seen that on more than one occasion. It causes me to lose sleep. Now, these families were not members of our church, but I knew them well. And I have tried to be convincing when having some of those last conversations before someone goes on a hill to die. And they reject the counsel. They get in a hurry. They do it their way. It's their life. I've been tied down to rules, regulations, standards. I want my freedom. And they walk right out of their family, walks right out of their church, walks right away from the people that love them the most. And their life is not only a mess, but it is absolutely a miserable life. And because of that, they can't even maintain themselves. When you surrounded yourself or God has placed around you godly counsel, you better thank Him for it. And you better be listening to them. Well, you know, they're pretty old, and, you know, I'm a millennial. Millennials need God's wisdom. I'm a Generation X. Generation X needs God's wisdom. We all do. I said this morning, none of us are without it, without the need of godly counsel. If we will rely upon the sources that God gave us, His Word, and those people, counselors that He puts around us, if we would but enjoy the rewards of that, then thirdly, and I read the text this morning, we'll not read it again, but the results for rejecting godly counsel is what I read from chapter 1 this morning, where God gives retribution in kind. Now, only stubbornness, selfishness, and sinfulness will demand that. Will keep you on that path. Will cause you to go up a hill and go to battle over that. That's all it is. Simple as I can say it. Or you can die to self. Realize that God has placed you here to become a wise counselor. You do not have to have a theological degree or a degree from a college to be a wise counselor. because you have responsibility. That you, and that wise counsel will not spoil your relationship with your family and your friends. But if relationships are constantly being spoiled, sometime sooner or later you've got to look and say, you know, I might be the problem here. And maybe what I need to do is learn from this. Well, that's why I preach this message. I'm trying to make you think that way. Because I want God to work in your life. Because I want you to become a wise counselor. Not someone that's down with the mully grubs all the time. But a wise person who will show their wisdom by how they live and how they talk. And what they say, where they go, how they say it. Wise. Who needs godly counsel? We all do. And I want to encourage you as your pastor tonight. Don't ever think none of us are above it. For tomorrow, you're going to need it. You can make your assessment, and you can make your assessment of how you think the landscape might be. And you may even be right on it. But griping and complaining about it does nothing to fix it. You have opportunity. You're a leader. You help change things. You become a wise counselor. You don't become overtaken with the negatives. It's when we're not thinking, it's when we're overtaken by the negatives. We don't have to do that. We can learn that when we do have to go to war, we'll go to war with God's wisdom. There's so much in this message that we could look at. But I want you to have an equal opportunity to say this to God tonight. Lord, I've not always exercised wisdom in my counseling. I've not always wanted wise counseling. I've not appreciated sometimes when someone tells me what is really wrong about my thinking. Or wrong about my decision. But I realize that if I'm going to enjoy the rewards of trusting your word and believing that you put people in my path to help me, good people, godly people, then I'm going to learn from them. I'm going to learn from your word, which will stand forever. I'm going to learn from those that God puts in my path, and I want to align my life with your word. And so, Lord, I'm going to give it to you all. I don't have the best of a relationship with some people. I need to fix that. I need to work on it. I'm going to change the way I'm thinking about this. I'm going to change. And I want you to give me wisdom beyond my years that I might be able to have a long run in life and not make everybody's life miserable because of my wishes and wants. But instead, I'm going to find a place of safety. And there's safety in a multitude of counselors. And God will give them to you if you would but listen and let God direct you. Would you stand with me, please?